How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
What happened there is Tom and I both went to do the intro. Would you like to start?
Okay, I'll start this one.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Tom Allen.
And me, Susie Ruffle.
Oh, that was awkward, wasn't it?
Wasn't it awkward?
And what a perfect way to introduce our theme,
I mean, that's really funny, isn't it? Because we both tried to be polite and ended up nothing happened.
Yeah, and I think that's the sort of thing that listeners might think is the sort of thing that we plan. But if you knew.
We plan nothing.
Nothing is planned. But we did want to talk to you about Forks Pass.
Faux pas.
Which, what does that mean? Wrong? Something faux? Oh, doing bad. Doing, not doing? Something not to do?
Oh, Tom, faux don't pas. Pretend you know that language.
Faux means wrong.
Doesn't false. Faux mean fake?
Yes.
Because you'd say like faux fur.
Faux, yeah, you would.
So it'd be like fake.
Pas usually means, is like ne pas. Ne faux pas. So not fake. So I suppose when you're being totally truthful and you've made a mistake.
Here's the thing. We're talking about when you bugger up socially.
Yeah.
Social bugger ups.
That's what we're trying to say. That's social bugger ups. Why can't they just speak English like everybody else?
You know what I mean?
So, yes, putting your foot in it, or as you said earlier, actually, Susie, and I didn't like to pick you up on it at the time.
What did I say?
Putting your foot in your mouth.
What? Isn't that an expression?
I think, well, maybe it is. Well, maybe it is.
Foot in mouth, no?
Foot in mouth is a disease that...
Cows gave us.
Sheep.
Sheep.
You're the one from the countryside, not me.
Oh, I'm not from farming countryside.
Your dad works on a farm.
No, he doesn't work on a farm. My dad trades horses and horse boxes.
To farmers?
No, more to like people that drive carts with a horse and cart, or like someone that rides a pony.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, well, I misunderstood the whole thing.
Well, we haven't got cows or anything.
No, I know. But you sometimes say, like, oh, dad's down working on the farm.
Oh, we just call the house where they live the farm.
Oh, I see. No, don't be sorry.
It's more of a lorry park with a field, if I'm honest. I'm really painting a picture, aren't I?
That's why I'm saying. But in my mind, it's all thatched cottages and, like... Your mum making lovely cakes every day.
Oh, no, mum won't make cakes. She'll make a cup of tea and like a cheese sandwich. She's not big on making cakes.
She's not big on sweet things.
No, she's well big on eating sweet things, but she...
Oh, doesn't like to make them.
Can't really be asked.
How interesting.
You can bake, can't you?
A little bit. It's not actually... I'm a bit with your mum on this. I'm not massively into baking. I do like it.
You like doing a chicken, don't you?
But I like doing a chicken. I cannot lie. I love to do a chicken. If I'm feeling stressed, I'll do a chicken. I feel a lot calmer.
Well, there you go. You did that lovely fish that time as well, didn't you? What was it, rainbow trout?
I did use some rainbow trout, yeah.
It was lovely.
And you were coming around when you were being vegetarian.
When I was pretending to be a vegetarian but still eating fish.
Still eating fish.
That went right out the window when I was hungover and had to have a bacon sandwich.
Yeah, I was going to say, now Susie's a vegetarian who eats fish and bacon but nothing else.
Listen, I'm a vegetarian except at mealtimes.
I really
agree with all the reasoning, but sometimes, I mean...
We all agree with the reasoning, sure.
Sure.
But we're all sometimes hungry.
You know.
I've got a Fitbit. By the way.
Oh, yeah, now, we should definitely talk about this. Because
I bought one for my birthday, and now I'm hungry all the time because it tells me you've only got 500 calories left for today. Oh, I'm always so hungry. Poor me.
How much are you getting to eat?
Not very much. I think I set it a bit too high on how much I wanted to lose. And I wanted to lose it immediately, like within a month or something.
Drop two dress sizes in a week or
Basically, it was one of those, and they're like, well, you can only have something like 1,000 calories a day.
You can only eat Special K twice a day.
Yeah, basically. And of course, I'm not really exercising as much as I'd like to, so, you know. The thing is, people notice. People notice if you
pile on the pounds. But you said that to me. Yesterday, you texted me and said, just to warn you, I've put on a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And I saw you, and I was so disappointed, because I was really hoping that you'd be... huge.
It's because I'm secret fat. I have secret fat. So it doesn't notice, but it's just around the belly area. That's where it goes.
But are you wearing like a corset? Because I can still see you.
Yeah, but it's not
You've got a corset on.
I've got a corset on, that's why.
Did your mum Did your mum sew you in this morning? You know, like in Titanic?
In Titanic. I was about to say that, in Titanic.
Rose, our family needs this money.
What do you want to see? All our fine things thrown to the wind.
So
facts packs.
Facts packs.
Because you've had a few recently, you were saying.
Well, I've been witness to a few, and I basically, one was dreadful. And I didn't really realise that I'd done it until afterwards, when I was doing a gig. There you go. I was doing a gig for Stand Up Against Racism.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it's great to be here for Stand Up for Racism.
Oops. Did people respond?
No, because I think people just ignored it because they knew that I was...
They knew what the intention
I was an idiot rather than a racist.
Rather than a very misplaced racist.
So that was quite embarrassing. But I was away on holiday, over the weekend. Went to Tenerife on my friend's hen do. So much fun.
Anywhere so that Susie hasn't been. Fun. Tenerife.
So many places.
Portsmouth.
She's done Bromley. I've been around your house.
You've been around my house.
Well, where your mum's. So it was very amusing. A group of people were talking about this Harry Potter app. They'd just seen the play, the Harry Potter play. Mm. They were talking about the Harry Potter app. And one of there was a guy on the holiday that was a gay guy. And
what?
I know. We had one gay guy on the holiday.
That's enough. That's quite enough.
Quite enough. I mean, but I texted you and you said, what, you've got another gay now?
Yeah. That was my first response. There's too many gays.
You know, you're right. You're so right. And I think
net
this is
gay
the platform.
Down by, what is it, under 10,000, what David Cameron said. We need to get net gays.
Down by that.
Down by, yeah.
Look, listen. I mean, let's not start saying that. We had that guy running for the leader of the Conservative Party who thought you could pray the gay away.
Oh, and Lord knows I've been saying my prayers, but she's still here.
So, the gay guy on the holiday, we were looking at this app and we were talking about the Harry Potter houses, and he said, I think that I'd be a Hufflepuff. Fine. I need to let you know now that we'd all had a number of drinks by this point in the day.
What were you drinking in the day?
Oh, I was drinking like shandy in the daytime, then moved on to sangria, then like gin and tonic, and then Cuba Libras.
tequila, is that Cuba Libra?
No, it's basically dark rum and coke with a few spices in.
Oh.
Ever so nice.
Moorish, I bet.
Oh, really Moorish. And and so he said, I think I'd be a Hufflepuff. And some people didn't know about Harry Potter in the group.
No,
people had a few drinks. And someone turned around to him and said, I think you already are. And he said, what did you think I said? And she said, a helpful puff. Which, and then, of course, she was very embarrassed by it because she was like, oh, my God, I put my foot in my mouth, my mouth in my foot, whatever the expression is.
Oh, yeah.
Really funny. It's hilarious.
Oh, that is funny.
But I find it more awkward when I, like, see someone and I don't know where I know them from.
Oh, that's
tough,
isn't it?
I find that very hard, yeah.
How can you recover from it? And do you do that sometimes when you're on your own and then it turns out they're a celebrity? Have you ever done that? Oh, hello. Oh, no, I don't know.
See, my cousin did that with Blues Lee Ryan.
Blues Lee Ryan, who came out a few years ago.
No, that was Duncan.
Sorry. Okay, carry on.
But Blues Lee Ryan, my cousin was working in a bar in Australia. She did like a gap year in Australia.
Ooh.
And she was working out there and these boys came in and they were English, obviously. And she was like, oh my God, I'm British as well. Oh yeah, how's it going? Where are you from? Blah, blah. And then she went up to Lee and said, I know you. Are you from Portsmouth?
Oh no.
And he was like, no, I don't. No, I'm not. And just sort of like brushed it off and was like, oh no, no, and she's like, as the night wore on and they were like, you know, she was like, they're like waitress all night. Like, I know that I know you. Where do I know you from?
Oh, no.
Where do I know you from?
Oh, no.
Anyway, eventually he had to turn around to her and be like, I'm in a boy band called Blue. And she was like, and this was like when they were at their peak. And she was like, oh, of course you are.
Oh,
have you ever done it to a celebrity?
No. I don't think so. I once was in a tea room with my mother.
Clang.
I know. Thank you. And at the next table was Gloria Hunniford.
Did she seem nice?
She seemed so nice, actually, Susie. That was down in Kent, where Mum and I sometimes like to go for
What's it called? Is that English? England's garden?
The Garden of England. Yes, I believe it is sometimes called that on the signage. In a place called Westrum in Kent, which is where Winston Churchill lived. And it's very nice to go to his old house because you look at the grounds.
You can
nice
go in
scone.
There now. What is it, National Trust?
It's National Front now, yeah.
National Front, yeah.
Yeah.
I love National Trust.
Yes, it's nice, isn't it? Mum and Dad are members. Oh, it's lovely. You can get great parking. In
great
places
parking.
Like Devil's Dyke in Brighton, I think.
All right.
And all right.
When we went, me and Mum went to Brighton a little while ago.
Oh, yeah.
And we drove from Portsmouth. Mm. And we went past Dyke Road. And I said to Mum, have a look at what the road's called. My mum thought it was the most hysterical thing that's ever happened. She couldn't get over it because Brighton's so gay.
Yeah, could it be any gay?
Couldn't get over Dyke Road. And then we're going to Poof to Close, and as you can imagine.
Hufflepuff Lane.
Hufflepuff Lane.
Yeah, they're very helpful down there. Oh, yes, well, it's a good thing to be a member of, I think. The National Trust. Yeah, I mean the National Trust. Mum and Dad did call it the National Front for a while.
By accident,
yeah. I don't think the National Front sell tea towels.
Well, you don't know.
You don't know, actually. I've never been to a National Front gift shop.
And I don't think I will.
I don't think I will. I don't know where they are.
No.
I think it might be something that's mail order.
Probably.
You know what I mean? Those boots and that.
Mail, but like M-A-L-E.
Oh,
yeah.
Good play on words, that. Good
thanks,
play on words.
Thanks.
I remember watching a very interesting film, actually, about some gay fascists from Sweden.
Gashists,
yes. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
Thanks.
Gashists, yeah. And then two of them fell in love. Yeah. It was at the London
Festival. But that look
Festival.
Is very gay, isn't it?
Mm, that's the thing.
The rate, that sort of...
70s.
I used to dress like
yeah,
a skinhead, didn't
sort
I?
Of
yeah.
Thing. Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah. And it's very confusing. I don't really know the history of it that well.
No, but it's quite fashionable.
And then it comes into fashion, and then like that whole sort of This Is England thing, and you're like, oh, not everybody was like that. And then by the end of the film, you go, oh, they were. So I don't really understand why, but I don't understand where the gay thing comes from. They'd say, I think that it's like, oh, it's just like, it just started at the same time, but we're totally different to the sort of fascist thing. But we just happen to wear exactly the same outfits.
Clothes.
Yeah.
I think we just like tight jeans.
I mean, tight jeans are very becoming, but they tend to wear them very high-waistedly, and I would never do that.
Oh, I think high-waisted jeans are great.
Do you now?
Mm, I only wear high-waisted.
Would you say they look good on a boy, though?
I don't know. I don't really see men.
Mm, I know. But I think, yeah, maybe they're better on a woman then. On a woman, not for any other reason other than
I wear
posterior,
them so high
the
I can
posterior.
Tuck my tits in.
Well, that saves, doesn't what, it?
Saves on bras, that's the thing.
Saves on bras, just
you've
use
You've got to be
belt.
Careful not to get too much drag.
What's a drag?
Drag on the tits.
What do you mean a drag on the tits?
Well,
it sounds like a run on the pound.
You push them down, they might end up saggier sooner.
Oh, is that right? Is that a constant thing?
No, not really. Do you mean I obviously don't actually tuck my breasts into my... Do you mean I don't really have boobs? So.
Yes, you do, Susie. Everybody does.
Thanks, Tom. Including you now.
Yeah. Since I stopped going to the gym. But, yeah, so... Well, I will start going to the gym again.
Have you had any social faux pas at the gym?
Oh, yes, I must have done, actually.
Because I hate nudity. I think I've spoken about this before on the podcast.
Mm.
But I said it to one of my yoga teachers yesterday.
Mm.
I said, She said, why don't you get changed here? And then we were talking about something else. And I said, oh, no, I can't get changed here. And she said, why? And I said, because I can't use the communal showers.
Oh, yeah.
Which she,
what
you know,
she
thought
say?
Was bizarre. Because
oh,
she's
no,
like, you know, you're an adult in the world. And I was like, but I'm not a naked one.
Yeah, I'm not a naked one. Thank you. I'll make that decision myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that? But I've been sort of similar. Similar vein. I used to tell this story on stage, how I was once sat in the steam room at a gym when I was in Edinburgh.
Oh, yeah.
And a man started playing with himself. And I didn't know where to look because, you know, you don't want to be rude. And
So this was just like a gym sauna. You went...
A gym steam room. Yeah, just a normal steam room.
Okay, good. Because I was going to say,
a
there
mixed
are
steam room. There
places
are
for that.
Places for that, but this was not one of those places.
Right, okay. So he
and
just...
started playing with himself.
And he knew you were there?
He knew I was there. And I didn't know where to look. I didn't know what to say.
Being so polite.
So polite about it. Because it feels like such a knockback. And, you know, Debrett's is very quiet on the subject. And so, you know, I let it all sort of finish and I just sort of was...
Did he...
What?
Go the whole hog?
No, he didn't actually.
Okay, thank God for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I have that effect on people. And And then he got up to walk out, and just as he got to the door of the steam room, he turned around to me and he said, I loved your show last night.
Oh my God.
And I love that thing you do on Radio 4. I mean, it's a wonderful compliment in a way.
Isn't it?
You have to take compliments where you can get them, I find. That's what I think. So in many ways, it was a faux pas on my part for not saying thank you. But, yeah.
I mean, what do you think he was... I mean, do you think he noted that it was you? Do you think he was always planning on going in there and having a fiddle? Or do you think he saw you and thought, God, I loved his routine about...
I mean, if you haven't seen my show...
It is very sexy.
It does prompt almost spontaneous masturbation.
I saw it last night, and it is...
Yeah, that's what I
read myself. It's very sexy. It was hard. I did my show afterwards, and it was very hard to get the audience back contained.
Woken up. They'd fallen asleep after
that.
After
that orgy had broken out.
No, my show is very unsexual, unfortunately. I don't know.
Is comedy sexy?
Is comedy sexy? Good question.
I know that Russell Brand sort of does a lot of sexy stuff, but...
I don't think it's like Rolling Stones sexy. You know that the way the Rolling Stones, like the subtext of a lot of Rolling Stones songs and Mick Jagger and everyone just seems to be like, you want to have sex with me, don't you?
But that's what a lot of music is, isn't it? It's like, you've broken my heart or you want to have sex with me.
Yeah, it is basically like that. And the audience is going, but who would break their heart? I wouldn't break their heart. And
I'd have sex with them. And then the next song comes on and you go, yeah, this is the one.
Yeah, and then you think, and that's how it perpetuates. And that's why you bear the records and that's why they live in mansions. And that's why we go and see them. But...
Whereas
but
comedy, you have to be a man of the people.
You have to be of the people, as indeed I am. As indeed I am, Susie.
Are you plugging your show title?
No, but my show is called Indeed. But I rarely would upgrade to an Uber exec.
Oh, I've done it by accident a couple of times and I've been drunk.
What's it like? Actually,
oh,
I've never done
God,
it.
The future.
Was it nice? You get water, don't you?
Yeah, you get water.
And a Mercedes?
A Mercedes.
Oh, I'd like that.
And the man came and opened the door for me like I was a queen.
That's what you pay for. Well, exactly.
But I was furious when I got in and I realised I'd done like a 10-minute journey and I was like, £40? What?
Was it really as much as that more?
Yeah.
Did you not do Fair Estimate? I always do Fair Estimate.
What, Tom, I would have done, but I was inebriated.
Of course you were. Out of your skull.
Oh. I must remember. I didn't know my name. I couldn't.
That's when I smash phones. That's when I smash my phone. Dropped it once. The phone is like, all right, it doesn't happen often. I'm okay. But then when you pick it up and immediately drop it again, the phone's like, no, forget it. And it just like cracked into a million pieces. Couldn't see the screen. Had to take it into the Apple Store.
Got the scratches on your finger when you tried to open it and stuff?
No, because you know I can't stand blood on glass.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I have a fear of broken glass for that reason. Because I once got a shard. I say a shard. It was a speck of glass under my nail. And I worked as a waiter in... Yes, exactly.
Oh, that makes me cringe. Yep. Under your nail?
Under my nail. I don't know how I got there. I was collecting glasses at the golf club when I worked there as a teenager. I went to wash it under the tap because I didn't know anything about first aid. I thought I did because I'd been in the Scouts. Anyway, the chef came up and said, you all right? Apparently, I'd lost all the colour in my cheeks. Next thing he said, come
outside. Your arse cheeks?
Yes. I don't know why he was looking. Great
you
chef.
You must stop wearing those crutchless trousers when you're doing silver service.
Very, apparently a big health and safety nightmare. And the chef said, come outside for a minute. Mm-hmm. And so we sat on the wall and I passed out. Into his
loving embrace.
Loving embrace. And I love a chef's arms because a chef is always very, you know...
Covered in gravy.
And covered in gravy.
It's your two big dreams.
Oh, yeah. You wake up in a very homely state. Like a Christmas morning.
I once got a splinter in between my nail.
Oh, splinters are bad too, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, in between your nails. They do come out.
It was horrid. Anyway,
like,
why did we get onto glass?
They're like the gay children of an arty couple. Don't worry. They'll eventually come out on their own. How did we get onto that? Broken glass, faux pas.
I mean, we didn't.
We didn't.
Have you done any faux pas whilst drunk?
Oh, I once met my friend's friend who was from Greece and her name was Sully. And I said, and she said, hello, I'm Sully. And I said, don't be sorry, like without questioning it. And she said, I'm not sorry. And I said, but you just said you were. And she said, no, I'm Sully. Oh, it was awful.
Yeah.
Sally, I think that was her name.
I once mistook someone for someone else.
Oh, who? Was it Lee from Blue?
It wasn't Lee from Blue. I mean, the thing that made it even worse is it was two people that were of a different race to me, but they are of the same race. Basically, I saw an Indian girl and mistook her for a different Indian girl.
Susie, that's terrible.
And so I just looked like a racist.
Well, indeed. How did you recover from that?
I just said, I'm ever so sorry. I'm really quite drunk.
Oh, where were you?
Outside the Soho Theatre, if anyone wants a location for the...
No, it's just good to contextualise. What have you been drinking that night?
Oh, Tom, you know me. All things.
All of them. That's the problem. Recently, I've been drinking a lot of gin, and I like it.
Love gin. Do you get cucumber in it?
Well, my friend Laura was telling me about botanicals. I don't know anything about botanicals, do you?
The posh. Is that the posh
what's
electronic?
No, that's Fever Tree.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Faux pas.
What a faux pas again. The gin is vodka. Now I'm probably saying this wrong, but somebody explained to me it's vodka which has been distilled with botanicals. Or
what's botanicals?
Spices. So it's normally cardamom.
Just say spices, Tom. No one's interested in you trying to be posh. Are you from Bromley?
Well, it's normally cardamom, pepper, something else, coriander seeds. I'm not sure. I'm probably lying there. But
probably.
But it's like all them spices, which makes it nice. But then they add other things. And that's why like Tanqueray, I think, has cucumber in it, because that brings out the natural flavours. And it's just got loads of flavours in it. It's really spicy and herby.
I like it.
Mm, really nice. It didn't give me a headache either, those posh gins.
That's the thing. Posh booze doesn't give you a headache.
No.
So good champagne doesn't give you a headache.
Really?
Yeah, I've only had it a couple of times.
Oh, I've never had it, I don't think, because I've always had a headache after champagne. Don't you hate that when you have it in the morning? Sorry, what am I revealing about myself?
What, you have champagne in the morning?
Of course. How else do I get out of bed?
Oh. I thought you got out of bed with a brandy.
No, brandy's mid-morning.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So continental.
So continental.
Because my mum and dad once had that in Javier in Spain for €1, a coffee and a brandy. And they came back with this idea and I thought, oh, that's what
love
I want. That's what I want to be.
Very nice.
You know what I mean?
Love it.
I was thinking of something I should say then and I've forgotten it. Where were we? Botanicals.
Social faux pas when you're drunk?
Social faux pas when you're drunk. It'll come back to me. Oh, yes, Simon Callow I once met. And I started talking to him about Sunday in the Park with George, and which is my favourite musical. And I said, well, the thing about James Lapin, and he said, I think it's James Lapin who wrote the book.
Oh, my God, of course.
I was corrected and I felt very, very humbled.
Mm.
In fact, I felt humiliated.
That's very...
It's not James Lapine, is it? It's James Lapin.
Oh, being shamed is so embarrassing.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this on stage at the moment in my show, but my dad, just before I was born, he delivered coal for a living. Mm. And there was a lady that he had to go, that he delivered the coal to. And she was from like one of the posh houses near... in Portsmouth. And
you grew up in Downton Abbey?
Yeah. And my dad was made to like take off some of his clothes to walk through her house because he thought that she thought that my dad was dirty because he was like...
Was that just an excuse?
Well, I don't know.
It sounds
like Lady Chatterley's Lover, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would have said that. Oh, the Coleman's here. Take off your clothes.
Well, you would have said it.
Yeah.
Whilst dressed as Norma Desmond.
Yes. If I had a Coleman coming...
There you go. But I think it was just to humiliate him.
Oh, really?
Or just to shame him. Like, well, you're dirty. If you want to come into this beautiful house, you have to take off all your clothes.
Oh, my God.
Not all of them. I mean, I don't think he had his dinky out. I'd hope not. Oh.
Oh, no. Do you still go past that house?
Yeah.
Is she still there?
No, I think she's long dead. And good riddance.
Oh, good riddance. Good riddance. Oh, I tell you what I enjoyed reading. Somebody put on Facebook Joan Crawford's letters to...
I saw this also.
They are so funny to Bette Davis. They hated each other. I didn't know that, did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, why did they hate each other?
Apparently it's a rivalry over a man. But right. I think they were both sort of had similar careers.
Yeah.
And they've both been sort of the belle of Hollywood at various points.
So Joan...
both nominated for Oscars or in films. In right. Together, one would get the Oscar nomination, the other wouldn't.
Because in the letter, Joan says... You must. She sends it to the director, doesn't she? Who they're both working with at the time.
I'll find it. This was on my friend's Facebook page. My friend Viv. Let's find it, and I will read it to you. Maybe we can cut this boring bit out.
Yeah, Talia, maybe cut this bit.
So here it is. Joan Crawford wrote to. Who was it to? Bob. Must have been Bob the director.
Oh, Bob the director.
But yes.
He's the great-grandfather of Bob the Builder, you know.
Gosh, that family. Mixed fortunes. Joan Crawford writes, Bob, dear, I hope by now you've had an opportunity to talk with Bette about her body odour. It is quite the distraction for me working within close proximity to her if she refuses to bathe or wear adequate deodorant. I have found myself gagging on several occasions during this filming. Fondly, Joan.
Could you imagine the if someone said to you, oh my God.
Can you imagine?
Could you speak to Tom about his body odour?
Especially if I was Bette Davis. And someone, like, can you imagine?
Imagine someone taking you to the side and saying, Tom, people have said how much you smell.
It would be so awful.
So shameful.
But it must be the sort of thing that happens in those sort of situations where people are at odds with each other. Do you know what I mean? Like, and they draw in other people around them.
Oh God, it's horrid.
Apparently, and then Bette Davis wrote to Joan on her birthday, to Joan Crawford. Bette wrote, "Dearest Joan, I heard tell that you're a year older today. Congratulations. You are now the sole survivor of the Jurassic period." "A title to add to the long list of titles you already hold, among them Sluttiest MGM Star and Most Psychotic. Please do try to keep your lips away from any more pool drains and tell those caterpillars on your forehead that it's time to turn into butterflies. Give Christine my love, Bette Davis."
So funny.
So funnily cruel. So horrendously cruel. But
I'm
so
going to start writing you letters like that.
Yeah, please do. I'd like to think that they were able to laugh about them, but I wonder if they would. I think whoever died, I think Joan Crawford died first, and Bette Davis said, well, they said, what? They asked her for a comment, and she said, well, they say you must never say, speak ill of the dead, you must only say good things. So she's dead. Good.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, bit of rivalries.
Bit of rivalries. Good, huh? Good. They're really funny, the stories. I was reading them.
If only the listeners knew how much we hated each other off the air.
Oh, the scandal, the drama of it all.
Oh, so much drama.
So much drama. But I think that brings us to the conclusion of this week's...
So go out, make social faux pas, own it.
Own it. And you know what? You know, if you feel like that, just... Yeah, I think that's true. People who own it... Just sort of, apparently John Gielgud used to do them a lot. Like, he saw somebody once outside the Garrick Club where he was a member, and he sat on the staircase waiting for somebody, and this man came out and he went, oh my God, I thought you were dead. I sort of spoke to that. And I think, you know, nobody loved him any less.
No.
Nobody loves you for being yourself. Nobody hates you for being yourself. Nobody loves you for being yourself.
Let's leave it on that note.
That's the mantra.
The abiding message we want you to take with you from the podcast today is no one will love you for being yourself.
No one will love you for being yourself. All right.
So why not be Bette Davis?
Exactly.
Something to consider.
Something to consider. Now, in wrapping up today, we should advise people, if they want to come and see us, the best way is to come and see us in Edinburgh, I would say.
Absolutely.
That's forthcoming. Susie, what's your show called?
My show is called Common, and it will be at the Mash House every day at 8:20.
8:20, good time. And where can people get the details?
I'll be tweeting about it, so at Susie Ruffle, or on my website, susieruffle.co.uk.
Good.
Just Google it.
Just Google it. But if you're in Edinburgh, go and see Susie's show. It's wonderful. I've seen it in previews. I love it. And if you're near the Pleasance, my show's at 8:15. It's called Indeed, Tom Allen Indeed, at 8:15. And details on tomindeed.com.
It's hilarious. Do the double. Go to Tom one day, come to me the next.
Well, exactly.
Do the like-minded friend double.
And if you can't do that, then come and see us on tour in the autumn.
Which is going to be so much fun.
Super fun.
Super fun, yeah.
Super fun, yeah, genau. Wonderful. Okay, well, thank you for joining us.
As always.
Enjoy your faux pas. Own them and write about them. And love yourselves. And
if you can't love yourself,
then, you know, maybe you should speak to a therapist.
Maybe you should. That's right. That's right.
Okay, great. Well, have a wonderful week, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye for now.
Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book. Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.